Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great and powerful Ryan Porth from 670 The Score in Chicago. Porth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning here in Chicago. Our listeners and our people in the city of Chicago are getting super excited about the 3-9 Bears taking on your 4-8 Packers on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Some people are billing it here as the Super Bowl because it's actually going to be Justin Fields versus Aaron Rodgers, potentially for the last time with Aaron Rodgers as a Packers quarterback. So everyone is excited here for the Super Bowl for the Bears season.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that Bears fans view that game as a Super Bowl. That's about what it's like.
That sounds
up there
terrible.
In Chicago.
Sounds terrible.
Kind of feels like exactly what it should be. So, Ryan Porth, we had a discussion earlier.
Hang on a second.
The show.
You guys can't do any better than this.
Wow, Charles McCube has entered the conversation.
I mean, come on.
Jeez, Porth, did you hear that? Good gracious.
Chase, I thought you were on the air at 10 a.m.
I'm on the air whenever I want to be, Hoss.
And that's your doing, Porth.
You left,
created,
so I had to take
created
over.
This monster.
The gate has been opened.
Y'all have fun. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Chase. Appreciate you. So, Porth, I brought this up earlier. I think you and I are of similar mind here. Joe definitely is not. But the expansion of the college football playoff to 12 teams, I'm just not a big fan of it. I like the exclusivity of college football. I like the regular season and what everything in the regular season, the magnitude of it means. And I do think this is going to dilute it down. I mean, it's going to happen now, so it is what it is. But just your thoughts on the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams.
Well, we all knew it was inevitable, so the news that came out here in the last couple of days was not a surprise at all. But I think, Robbie, you and I are in the minority on this, of this not being the best thing for college football. I think this is better for ESPN than it is for the sport of college football, because ESPN is going to have now 11 playoff games on their networks instead of 3. So obviously, you know, this is a huge money grab for ESPN, for the conferences, for the schools, what have you. But the example that I used on Twitter this week was this past Saturday's Ohio State-Michigan game, where you had number 2 versus number 3, and everything was on the line. And this is not the first time that something like this has happened on, you know, rivalry Saturday, whether it's Ohio State-Michigan or Alabama-Auburn, where everything is on the line, whether it's, you know, trying to get yourself into the conference title game to then make it to the college football playoff. But essentially, Saturday was a playoff game, unless chaos happens this weekend and then Ohio State can get themselves back in the top 4. But that was a playoff game. And now, you know, next season, if it's number 2 Ohio State versus number 3 Michigan, well, not next season, but 2024, if that same situation happens, it's not really a playoff game. Both teams are in the playoffs at that point. And I get everybody saying, oh, well, it's still a rivalry game, still a big deal, blah, blah, blah. It is not going to have the same national importance just naturally because both teams are in the playoffs. You know, I'm not going to view that game 2 years from now as one that is, you know, a complete must-watch because, what, one team can earn a bye and the other is going to have to play on the wild card weekend or whatever they're going to deem it in the college football playoff. I just don't see a whole lot of positives out of this, because once you get it to 12, when are they going to get 16? And then it just builds from there. You know, before we die, it's probably going to be at 32, and then it's going to be just like every other sport where half the teams of the Power 5 conferences are making it into the playoffs, just like half the teams in NHL or NBA or other sports make the playoffs. And there's nothing wrong with that, but like you said, one of the unique parts of college football is its regular season. And the exclusive nature of the college football playoffs. So I don't like it. I'm in minority. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and now I'm the old man telling people to get off my lawn. But I'm not a big fan of the expansion.
So, Porth, to that point, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where I hear the argument of, well, it gives access to more teams throughout the country, and maybe the overall interest grows because of this. I can buy that. Like, I could see where that could be the case. But I also hear in the same breath people talking about being tired of seeing the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Ohio States of the world in the college football playoff. And to me, Porth, and you can tell me whether or not you agree or disagree with this, all this is really doing on that standpoint is giving them more leeway. Like, Alabama's in the 12-team playoff this year. Ohio State's in the 12-team playoff this year. They're already good enough, and now they can lose two or three games and still get in there. Like, this is not going to solve the problem of the same usual suspects being in the playoff, in my mind.
No, I completely agree with that. And, you know, take the current rankings as an example. Like, Penn State versus Clemson, like 8 versus 9. Like, that's a matchup that we're already going to be seeing potentially in a New Year's Six game or something to that effect, whether it's Clemson-Tennessee or Penn State-Clemson. Like, we already see these games in the New Year's Six bowl games. Now we're just going to see them in a tournament. I don't think this is going to necessarily mean, oh, well, Penn State can now run the table and beat Georgia in the second round. Like, I think at the end of the day, we're still going to see a lot of the same teams in that Final Four once it gets down to that. You know, this year, we all know Georgia's probably going to win the national title. In 2 years, I don't think any of this is going to change. Now, 10 years from now, is the pool of teams greater than it is now that have legitimate chances to win the title? I mean, maybe, and if that's the case, then I think parity will do college football good, but I think it would take a long time to get there, and there's no guarantee of that.
What do you make of kind of this setup this weekend with the top four being what it is, with Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC occupying those spots right now? Do you expect to see any chaos? Is it going to be, you know, chalk with these four that we have right now? What are your thoughts on championship weekend? And quite honestly, Porth, a championship weekend that kind of on the surface is a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah, it is underwhelming. And I do understand Joe's point where he says, you know, a 12-team playoff makes a weekend like this more interesting. I'm just not ready to have the debate of whether or not a four-loss Kansas State team should get in over a three-loss Florida State team, you know, in terms of the future conversation of the playoff. But, you know, I don't know if TCU, you know, if they have an automatic, you know, pass if they lose to Kansas State. I could see then the argument on Sunday being, you know, does Ohio State, one loss Ohio State get in over one loss TCU? Who knows? But I don't really anticipate a whole lot of chaos this weekend. I mean, Georgia's going to smack LSU. Michigan is going to romp Purdue. I would expect USC in their second meeting tonight against Utah to beat them. And then TCU, I mean, I think they might be the most vulnerable of the four to lose this weekend, because I think Kansas State is a pretty good team, and Kansas State had them beat earlier this year before they had to, I think, go to like their third or fourth string quarterback in the second half of that game, and then TCU came back. So I don't expect a lot of chaos this weekend. And if there is chaos, then we're going to see the same suspects in the Final Four again with Ohio State and Alabama.
Ryan Porth with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Porth, before we let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on the Titans. They're 7-4. They're taking on A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. What do you make of that matchup, and what do you make of what you've seen from the Titans thus far?
All right, let's start with A.J. Brown. I would love nothing more than the Titans going into Philly on Sunday and shoving it up A.J. Brown's giggy on Sunday for him asking for
up
more
his what?
Money, talking himself
up his
out
what?
Of Nashville.
Shove it up his so, what?
His giggy. So,
sure.
Is that a dad word I'm not familiar with?
I don't know.
It's a term we use here in Chicago, apparently.
Oh, good. Okay.
So,
look at you assimilating with the culture.
Yes. So, I actually like the Titans' chances this weekend, honestly. This is a spot that they typically rise up, and the Eagles, they've been playing some primetime games. Everybody's been loving on them. Now you got a noon kickoff at home against a physical team, and the Eagles have been skating by on a weak schedule. I like the Titans on Sunday to at least cover, if not win. But big picture with the Titans, I think their ceiling is pretty limited because of A.J. Brown talking himself out of the Titans franchise and going to the Eagles. I just don't see a whole lot of punch offensively. It's very inconsistent. Maybe Treylon Burks here in the last month of the season can emerge. He's shown flashes of that here in the last couple of weeks. But the run game is not getting it done with Derrick Henry on any sort of consistent basis. Tannehill, I'll give him credit. He's been much better this season compared to last. But when you have limited resources and then an offensive coordinator that doesn't have a feel for the game calling the plays, this is what you're going to get. I mean, the defense, whatever the Titans do in the playoffs, in my opinion, is going to be because of the defense and Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard and Bud Dupree and that unit getting after it and bailing out the offense. Because I just see a very limited ceiling with the Titans.
All right, Porth, before we let you go, an honorary question from Matt the Trash Man in Kentucky on the text line. Has Porth seen Star Wars yet? An update from you, Ryan Porth.
No, I have not. I have a nine-month-old at home. I can barely watch sports every night. I did finish Love is Blind Season 3 on Netflix, but
oh,
I have not watched Star Wars, and I do not intend to watch Star Wars anytime soon.
Sure, that is so you. Love is Blind. I love it, Porth.
I just magnificent use of your time.
I just have one thing to say to our dear friend Ryan Porth. I'm just passionate about sports, okay?
I'm just passionate about Love is Blind, okay?
Yes, thank you.
It is an addictive show for those who haven't watched it.
Yes,
it is an addictive show. What's your child's favorite show? What are you watching for baby TV?
So it changes on a monthly basis. It was Elmo as of 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay.
But I forget her name. My wife says it almost every day. I forget this lady's name on YouTube, but it's some YouTube show that Brooklyn cannot peel her eyes off of whenever it's on the TV, that's talking about shapes and letters and colors and things of that nature. I forget the lady's name, but we're now on to YouTube with this lady.
There we go.
So we'll see what it is a month from now.
My son's big into Bluey. I don't know if you started watching Bluey yet.
Okay. All right. I'll add that to the list the next time that Brooklyn doesn't like what's on TV.
Okay, sounds good.
Ryan Porth here with us on Robbie and Rex Road from 670 The Score. Porth, good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Good to hear from you guys. Take care.
Right. Absolutely. Bye-bye. Ryan Porth, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the college football playoff, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Ryan Porth for joining us in the last segment. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Taking a look at this weekend in college football. Speaking of this weekend, make sure you tune in to the college football game of the week on 1025-1063 The Game tomorrow night as Purdue takes on Michigan in the Big Ten championship game at 7 o'clock. College football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. So it is conference championship weekend in college football, beginning tonight as the Pac-12 championship gets underway. Utah taking on USC, which is probably the most impactful conference championship game of the weekend as far as it relates to the college football playoff. If USC wins, they're in. If they lose, they're out of the college football playoff. So we'll find out a little bit more of what that picture looks like tonight. TCU taking on Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game as well coming up tomorrow. Really, Adam, those two games as far as college football playoff results are about it on conference championship weekend. Georgia and LSU, I don't think has any college football playoff implications. LSU's not getting in even if they win, and LSU I don't think is getting out even if they lose. Same thing with Michigan and Purdue. So it is an underwhelming conference championship weekend to some degree. Lots of eyeballs going to be on USC and Utah coming up tonight in the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, you know, I'm still getting used. Has Utah always been in the Pac-12?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm just getting used to it's like USC and Utah. I'm like,
and now USC's about to leave it.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, as we talked about earlier, you know, not the most exciting slate of championship games this weekend, but it is college football, so I'm sure we'll all watch a little bit of it. And then, you know, the Pac-12 championship, you know, number 4 versus number 11 tonight, it should be a good game, for sure. But yeah, I mean, there, it doesn't seem to be a lot riding on the results of this. Well, you said that if USC loses, they're out, but I don't think there's a whole lot riding on the results of this weekend. I feel like it might be the same. The final order of the college football playoff might be the same as it was this past week.
Yeah, very well could be. And if TCU wins, USC wins, then I think it's pretty straightforward. I think it'll be Georgia at 1, Michigan at 2, TCU at 3, and then USC at 4. Now, if USC loses, then maybe a little chaos gets put in there. The really interesting scenario to me is what if TCU and USC both lose? I think that TCU has done enough where they should be in regardless. They're 12-0. They've already beaten Kansas State once. They got to play them again, especially if the game's close. Like, if you end up 12-1, I still think TCU should probably be in there. USC with 2 losses would not be in there, so that would open the door for Ohio State at that point, and then we can have the discussion of, is Ohio State going to get in or is it going to be Alabama? I think it would be Ohio State at that point, but that's really the chaotic scenario that can take place this weekend. I think, you know, Will from Nashville on the text line just asked if Michigan gets in if they lose to Purdue. I think Georgia and Michigan are in no matter what the result is this weekend.
Yeah, I think if Southern California loses, I think Ohio State leapfrogs them, and you have Georgia versus Ohio State and Michigan versus TCU in the college football playoff. And of course, there's always Alabama lurking. I guess if I agree. I really think that the spot currently held by USC, I feel like, is the only one up for grabs. Even if TCU loses, as you said, I still think they have a good enough case to be in anyway. So it's if it comes down to USC winning, then I think you can lock up the top 4 as is. If they lose, I think Ohio State leapfrogs them and sneaks into that 4 spot.
Gator Tim on the text line says, no chance TCU is in if they lose. Brand matters, though Rex Road denies this fact. The committee is looking for a reason to put Ohio State in. Well, first off, no chance is ridiculous. I think they've definitely got a chance. Now, I'm not going to totally rule it out. That's the way I feel. I think TCU should be in regardless. Now, whether or not the committee feels the same way, I have no idea, because honestly, trying to guess what this committee at times feels like over the years is almost impossible to do, and it changes on a weekly basis. So, I mean, look, Gator Tim could be right. If TCU loses, maybe they're not in. I personally feel like they should be.
Yeah, I think as we looked at their schedule earlier, and if they beat Kansas State again, 6 of their 13 wins will have come against ranked opponents. So They're not beating up on, you know, cupcakes, so to speak. Now, there are always cupcakes in the schedule, but but TCU has, you know, several big, you know, several impressive wins this year from a ranking standpoint. Now, so the games were tight, as we talked about earlier. TCU won a lot of games by 10 or fewer points, but they won them, and they were against top competition. So, yeah, maybe if Kansas State just whoops them, but I don't see that happening.
I don't either. I mean, look, first off, I think TCU is going to win the game. I mean, we keep waiting on TCU to lose this year in the Big 12, and they've not done it yet. Now, I think it'll be close. I mean, what's the line? 2.5? Like, it's going to be, I think, a pretty close game, but I think TCU is going to win in the end, and I think USC is going to win tonight too, but it is college football. We see crazy things happen in college football all the time, so I'm leaving the door open for that possibility tonight as well. Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. Did you have something?
I was going to say the line is TCU minus 2.5.
There we go. Pigskin Pick'em coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of picks to make this weekend, both in college football and in the NFL as well. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And to give a little preview of some of the picks that I've got coming up in Pigskin Pick'em, listen, I'm taking a look at a couple of the NFL games. I think there's a couple games that could be a nice little payout for you, get a little extra holiday money. And listen, Superbook is doing this fun thing, and they want to know if your parlays can pop this holiday season. So you'll win some money from Vegas with a weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. So if you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you $10 bonus voucher, and it's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. Okay, so let's take a look at this slate. I really like the Pittsburgh Steelers -1 over the Atlanta Falcons. I also like the Tennessee Titans +4.5. I also like the Titans +180 on the money line over the Philadelphia Eagles. And to round it out, I like the New York Giants +2.5 over the Washington Commanders. So listen, they are going to give you a $10 bonus voucher as their little courtesy holiday treat for you. So rack up the wins, earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A quick standings update in the competition. Joe Rex Road, obviously, apparently with the best week last week, 4-2 with his lock. So congratulations to Joe, I believe, for the second week in a row, having the best week among the three of us. Michelle Knezvik, 3-3 with her lock last week, so she improves to 40-32 on the season. 7-5 on the locks, good for 47 points. Robbie Stanley, also 3-3 with his lock last week. 38-34 on the season, 5-7 on the locks, 43 points. Joe Rexrode, 4-2 with his lock, so a nice 5-point week for Rexrode. 29-43, 3-9 on his locks, good for 32 points in the competition. So with that in mind, let's get rolling today. Joe Rexrode may not be here today, but he has left me his picks, so looking forward to that. So we begin with the Pac-12 championship game tonight between Utah and USC. Heavy implications in the college football playoff at stake. USC favored by 2.5 points in this game. Michelle Knezvik, you are first in the standings, so with that in mind, you will go first. USC -2.5 tonight against Utah.
Okay, so this one is pretty tricky for me because I really do think that Utah can pull off the upset. Okay, so I'm going with Utah +2.5. I had to talk myself through it a little quickly. give me Utah +2.5.
I like it. Going Utah +2.5 tonight. I will take USC -2.5. I think it's going to be close. Like I said, I don't really trust USC's defense. I think Caleb Williams will play well. And I think that USC wins by about 3 or 4. So I'll go USC -2.5. Joe Rexrode also going with USC -2.5 as well against Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. Adam Vingan, USC, Utah. USC favored by 2.5.
I'll go with USC in this one.
Ooh, so going USC. I don't like it when everybody except Michelle makes a pick.
And I'm in first place.
I know. That's why I don't like it. We'll see what happens on that front. All right, moving ahead to the SEC title game. LSU taking on Georgia in Atlanta. Georgia's favored by 17.5 in this game, so an interesting little hook there. I'll go first on this one. I'll go LSU +17.5. I think Georgia wins by about 17. And quite frankly, if they were motivated to win this game by even more, I think they probably would, but they're getting in the college football playoff either way. So I'll take LSU +17.5. Joe Rexrode also going with LSU +17.5 in the competition as well. Adam Vingan, LSU and Georgia. Georgia favored by 17.5.
Give me the Dogs.
Going with the Dogs. Stetson Bennett and the Dogs. Adam Vingan calling for a blowout in this one. Michelle Knezvik, LSU coming off the loss to Texas A&M. 17.5 point underdogs against Georgia. Your thoughts on the SEC title game?
This one's really easy for me. Listen, LSU is coming off an awful loss to Texas A&M. Really just crushed their hopes of even having a chance to potentially get in the college football playoff. I think they're going to have a bounce back week. I don't think that they're going to win this game. I think Georgia's going to win, but I think this line is too big, especially for the SEC title game. So give me LSU +17.5. Like I said, Georgia will win, but LSU will cover that spread.
All right, the Tennessee Titans taking on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday in the A.J. Brown Bowl. Looking forward to this one coming up on Sunday. The Eagles are favored by 4.5. I believe the line opened with the Eagles as a 6.5-point favorite, and it's gone all the way down to 4.5. Joe Rexrode taking the Titans. He had it plus 5, but the line's moved, and I can't help it that Rexrode's not here. So we're going to go Titans plus 4.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Michelle Knezovic, you're up next. The Eagles and the Titans. Eagles favored by 4.5.
I'm going to go with Joe on this one as well. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans plus the 4.5. If I'm betting my money on it, I do think the Eagles will win on the money line, but I think it's going to be a close game, and I think that the Tennessee will cover that spread.
Adam Vinken, Eagles favored by 4.5 against the Titans.
I'm taking the Titans. I'm going to call for the upset here. I'm taking the Titans.
You're going outright. I like it.
Outright.
I will go Philadelphia. I think the Eagles win by about a touchdown in this game. So I will take the Eagles minus the 4.5. And this has not been planned, but so far Michelle and I are in direct opposition with each other. So this could be game-changing week in this competition, one way or the other. We move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezovic, you're up first with your first individual selection.
Okay, I talked about this game a little bit earlier. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Atlanta Falcons. Pittsburgh is favored by 1.5. I think Pittsburgh wins outright. Falcons showed some good things. They were great at covering the spread at the beginning of the year with Marcus Mariota, but Kenny Pickett's starting to feel really comfortable in that offense, so give me the Pittsburgh Steelers minus the 1.5.
Joe's first individual selection is Kansas State versus TCU in the Big 12 title game. TCU favored by 2.5 points in this game, and Joe is going with the Horned Frogs minus 2.5 against Kansas State. So Joe selecting TCU to finish off the regular portion of the season, 13-0 with the Big 12 title. I'm also going that direction. Give me TCU minus 2.5. I think they win. I think they win by about a touchdown. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a good game in the Big 12 title game, but I'll go TCU minus the 2.5. Adam, who do you think that wins that game? TCU, Kansas?
I'm going to go with TCU. Finish the undefeated season.
All right.
Can't say I've watched a single TCU football game this year, but I like the sound of 13-0.
Hey, I've watched a couple of them. They look pretty good, I will say. Joe Rexrode's second individual selection, and you knew this was happening, Michelle. Anytime there's a Lions game, Joe's got to be there. Jags taking on the Lions. The Jaguars are favored by 1. Excuse me, Lions favored by 1 in this game. Joe's going with the Jags and locking it down.
Had to throw both of those in there.
So locking, yes, why would you not? Locking down against the mighty Detroit Lions. Rexrode's hatred for the Lions returns. Michelle, your second individual selection.
Okay, I'm going back to college football for this one. Big Ten Championship. We got Purdue and Michigan. Michigan favored by 16.5.
Yep.
I think that line is just a little bit too big for Michigan. I think Purdue will be able to hang on maybe in the first half of the game. I see Michigan winning by about 2 touchdowns. But give me Purdue plus the 16.5. I do not think Michigan will be able to cover that.
Well, let me just go ahead and get this out of the way for my individual pick. The Green Bay Packers taking on the Chicago Bears this weekend in Chicago. As we heard from Ryan Porth, apparently this is a big deal in Chicago. Honestly, until today, I've not even thought twice about it because that's how this season is going. But the Packers are 3.5-point favorites against the Chicago Bears. Aaron Rodgers is returning to where he owns property in Chicago at Soldier Field. Give me the Packers minus 3.5 and make it my lock. I am locking down on the 4-8 Green Bay Packers. What a matchup this is going to be. Adam, how do you think that one goes? Packers and Bears.
Well,
Adam,
Aaron Rodgers does indeed own the Bears, but this is not the same old Aaron Rodgers. That team's bad. And Justin Fields, well, is he playing or no?
Yes.
He's playing.
Oh, then I will. Then give me the Bears.
Woo!
Interesting.
Give me the Bears.
All right, final round of individual selections.
That backfired.
I'll kick things off. It did. I'll go to the ACC title game. North Carolina and Clemson. This game is really interesting to me because I think it has a chance to be a good one. Clemson's favored by 7.5 in this game. I think that's a little bit too much. I think Clemson's going to win by exactly a touchdown. So because of that, I will go North Carolina plus the 7.5 against Clemson in the ACC title game. You know, obviously Clemson's coming off the loss to South Carolina. I don't love their offense. I think they got a problem at the quarterback position in the passing game. But I think their defense is good enough to slow down Drake May in North Carolina. So I will go Clemson to win the game, but give me North Carolina plus the 7.5. Joe Rexroad's final individual selection, the Jets and the Vikings. The Vikings favored by 3. Rexroad riding with the Vikings. The Mike White magic runs out. Rexroad going with the Minnesota Vikings minus the 3 points. Michelle Knezevic, your final individual selection.
Well, listen, since we have been opposite on the majority of our picks today, Robbie Stanley, then I might as well just round it out. And listen, I think
you're acting like you weren't going to pick this anyway.
I think that the Packers will win by a field goal, but I do love that little half a point there.
Do you?
So give me the Chicago Bears plus the 3.5 and make it my lock. Woo!
Now, do you really think the Packers are going to win by the field goal, or are you like you covering here? What's going on?
Listen, I'm really not sure how it's going to go. And listen, Justin Fields doesn't have one of his best receivers. Mooney's out for the year. And their defense really sucks.
It does.
But also, both of these teams have looked very, very bad. And I'm excited to see what Justin Fields can do against Aaron Rodgers. It'll be, and whoever wins will be the winningest franchise in the NFL because they are currently tied right now. My favorite stat for the day.
Sure, it's a great comfort to whoever wins this game coming up on Sunday that they'll be the winningest franchise in the history of the NFL. This has been Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Friday morning at 9:30 during the football season. Going to be a very interesting conference championship weekend. And a very interesting weekend in the NFL as well, headlined here locally by the Titans and the Eagles. We'll take your final thoughts on this weekend in sports. Preds, Titans, college football, everything on the table at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This Sunday, following the Titans game, tune in for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from 6th and Peabody. Postgame show brought to you by Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezevic, who's in full troll mode in the last
full
segment.
Full troll
here.
Mode.
Playing the Chicago Bears theme song.
Adam was dancing to it a little bit. You like it, Adam?
It's all right.
We're going to be the only two people in the entire Nashville area watching that game coming up on Sunday, so looking forward to that.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I won't be watching that game.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't think very many people will be. So Adam's going with the Titans to win outright against Philadelphia on Sunday. Michelle going with a close game, and I believe a close Eagles win. I've got the Eagles winning by about a touchdown coming up on Sunday. Michelle, I'll start with you. If the Titans are going to go to Philadelphia, pull off the upset, and come back 8-4, what has to happen? What are you looking for in this game coming up on Sunday?
Okay, well, the first thing I'm looking for is Jeffrey Simmons to look like Jeffrey Simmons. Last game, I mean, they weren't able to affect Joe Burrow much, and he's so agile, can get out of the pocket, and that's very similar to what Jalen Hurts can do. So you got to be able to affect Jalen Hurts, because if he gets out of the pocket, he's going to run, and you cannot let him rush for over 100 yards on you. I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is with Ben Jones back at center, you really have to make sure you create holes for Derrick Henry, because we all know if this Titans team is going to win, Derrick Henry's got to get going. He's got to have a big game as well. And thirdly, I'm looking for Treylon Burks. I mean, he has slowly but surely just progressed as soon as he came off IR for this team. So if he can have a couple X plays out there, then I think that this Tennessee team will be able to get the win.
Adam, how do you think AJ Brown plays on Sunday?
Well, earlier, what did I say? We have at least 6 receptions, 85 yards, and a touchdown.
Yep.
So I expect him to have a good game. So, you know, preventing him from doing that and proving me wrong will be a big part of a successful Titans game plan. And as we talked about earlier, when they kept on calling Treylon Burks Jalen Hurts, again, it sounds very similar.
It does.
He had Jalen Hurts. There I got it that time. Jalen Hurts has nearly 250 yards on the ground combined in his past two games, including 157 in his last game against your Packers, right?
That is correct.
So, you know, so the Titans have to be wary of that. But as we talked about earlier, you know, Miles Sanders quietly with 900 rushing yards this season.
Yep.
So, you know, with all of the focus on A.J. Brown and, of course, Jalen Hurts, you can't forget about Miles Sanders. So making sure that Miles Sanders is also held in check, I think, will be a big deal, too.
I think it will, too. And look, if you're the Titans, there's a lot to worry about. And to me, the worry that nobody's talking about this week, or at least I shouldn't say nobody, we're not talking about as much as the A.J. Brown and the Jalen Hurts part of this, but I think could be every bit as important. Philadelphia's offensive line is the best offensive line in the NFL, and they are really, really good. And the Titans are coming off a week where traditionally, at least on the defensive side of the ball, they're controlling the line of scrimmage. And it's not like the Titans got pushed around or dominated or anything like that on Sunday against Cincinnati. But we were bringing up the question after the game, did the Bengals play a more physical game than the Titans did? And that's not typically a question that we ask about a Mike Vrabel coached Tennessee Titans team. So that's going to be a huge challenge for the Titans coming up on Sunday against Philadelphia. That offensive line is really good. Whether you want to talk about the tackles or whether you want to talk about Kelsey up the middle, one of the best centers in the league. I mean, they've got a really solid offensive line, and it's going to be a big test for the Titans, presumably without Danico Autry and with Jeff Simmons, I think, still pretty clearly not 100%. I expect him to play, but he's clearly not 100% out there. So that's a big challenge for this Titans offensive line or for this Titans defensive front. They need Bud Dupree to play way better than he did last Sunday against Cincinnati. He made a couple of plays, but largely I thought he was pretty invisible in that game against the Bengals. They need Bud Dupree to be a factor in this game. And it's not necessarily just Jalen Hurts on the other side of the ball, but it's in the run game. You know, creating havoc, getting Jalen Hurts off his spot and not letting him get outside and break contain. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it this week when you're rushing the quarterback. But I think it all starts up front on both sides of the ball. Titans offensive line got dominated in the running game last week, and their defensive line didn't get the same push that we're used to seeing. If that doesn't improve this week, then I think they're in big trouble coming up against the Eagles.
Yeah, for sure. As David Beauclair mentioned earlier in the show, you know, the Titans have faced a wide array of quarterbacks who are comfortable breaking the pocket and running the football, but none like Jalen Hurts. I would put Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson in a tier of their own. Maybe Josh Allen, but he might be the top of the next tier. But you know, Patrick Mahomes had six carries and 60 plus yards and a touchdown against the Titans, and Joe Burrow had 30 yards on the ground last week. So, but none of those quarterbacks, in my opinion at least, compare to Jalen Hurts' ability to get out and run. So, you know, the Titans have had experience this season playing those types of quarterbacks, which is good, but none are on the level of Jalen Hurts, in my opinion.
No question about it. And then on the other side, can you get Derrick Henry going? I mean, it's 3 weeks in a row where it's been tough sledding in the running game for the Titans, and that was kind of highlighted last week against the Bengals. You got 17 carries, 38 yards for Derrick Henry last week. You've got to find a way to get him going. You know that when you play teams, their defensive game plan is going to be to slow down Derrick Henry. Some teams can do it. Some teams have had way more trouble doing that. Every team tries to do it, and pretty successful the last 3 weeks for opposing defenses against Derrick Henry. Can you continue to play well in the passing game and make teams pay when they do that? And can you also find a way to have Derrick Henry get a little bit more room to operate and break through a time or two? Whether that be, as David Beauclair pointed out earlier, maybe slipping him on the screen a couple of more times in the game if they're going to defend you that way. I don't know how exactly you do it, but that's going to be a big challenge because it's pretty obvious that the teams are trying to take him away from the Titans and don't believe that the Titans are good enough to beat them with their own passing game. So I would imagine it's probably what we're going to see from Philadelphia coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it would be smart of them to do that. And Derrick Henry hasn't been Derrick Henry most of this season. And look, he had a significant injury last year, and he's getting older, and he is a physical running back, you know. So that, you know, there's tread on those tires, plus the injury. You know, he's not a spring chicken anymore. So, you know, to have him back to as close to 100% Derrick Henry as you can, you know, that will make a huge difference. So, you know, I think it will be important for him, as you said, to get one early, get a nice, you know, he had 9 yards on his first carry last week, right? And that was it.
Yeah,
he's going to need to have a few more, of course, than that. So, you know, maybe getting him going early would be helpful for them.
Adam Pred's back in action tonight, taking on the New York Islanders. They'll try to win the second half of the back-to-back after getting the 4-3 win last night against the New Jersey Devils. What do you make of this game? What will this game tell us about the Preds tonight?
It will tell us whether or not last night was just a once in a blue moon type of comeback, which it probably was because teams rarely score the game tying goal that late in a game and win the game in overtime. So, you know, it will show us whether this team, as we said, 6-1-1 in its past 8 games, but hasn't looked great doing it. You know, had a miracle win against the Devils, needed overtime to beat the Ducks, needed a shootout to beat the Coyotes, two of the worst teams in the league. You know, the Islanders are a solid team this season, so I think the ability for them to win that game would show us that, you know, maybe, you know, they can play up to their competition. Otherwise, we'll remember the game last night as just a footnote.
It'd be good to see your big guns. I mean, Johansson scored twice last night. Duchesne with a good play on the game winner. But good to see Forsberg and Duchesne specifically start to find the net goal scoring wise a little bit more often starting tonight.
Yeah, and that's why I picked Duchesne as my Preds pick to click, and you picked Philip Forsberg. So one of us will be right, or maybe both of us. We'll see.
But, or Ryan Johansson.
Or Ryan, but he just scored 2 goals. So
that's okay.
We're not talking about we're not worried about his production right now. We're talking about Duchesne and Forsberg. So anyway, no, I think it's important. Like we said, they've had good seasons from a point standpoint.
Yeah.
But they just have not scored to the same rate, obviously, as they did last
year. Well, and this team needs them to do that. We'll see if they can do that tonight. Preds and the Islanders tonight. Starting at 6:30, pregame at 5:30 here on 102.5 The Game, so you can check that game out tonight. Adam, it's great to see you. I apologize that, like my Green Bay Packers, your beloved New Orleans Saints not having a great year, but it is what it is.
Hey, I was at the game a couple of weeks ago when they beat the Rams, so that's all that matters to me. I saw a win.
Wow, look at you.
Yes.
Maybe you need to get down there more often.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see what happens.
See, check on Drew Brees. Make sure he's not, you know, dead from being struck by lightning.
There is that rumor that's been out there. I think it's been cleared up that he's fine. Looks like it was a publicity stunt.
That's what I thought. But Michelle thought it was real.
Yep, and so did a lot of other people. I got dubbed by it.
Adam, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Of course.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexrode. We'll be back coming up on Monday morning at 6 o'clock. Joe Rexrode back in town as well. We'll recap the Titans and the Eagles and a busy weekend in the world of sports. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.